at Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruits of the land shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God. Now, I want us to look at 2 Chronicles 3:15. This will give us a greater understanding of what we're talking about. 2 Chronicles 31:5. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field. So they brought the first fruits of the harvest, and then, look at the latter part, the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. No exact amount was required in the first fruit offering. That was left up to the individual. To the Israelites, I got this from Brother Philip Pearson. To the Israelites, this was a type of insurance policy. Today, if you were planting a crop, you could go out and buy an insurance policy to guarantee if everything doesn't come in that you won't lose everything. But to the Israelites, this was a type of insurance policy. When they gave this offering, God guaranteed the rest of the harvest. The first fruits was offered at the first of the harvest to ensure the rest of the harvest. In the same way, we present our offering at the first of the year to set the course for the rest of the year. The first fruit offering is our opportunity to give above and beyond the regular tithe. My subject this morning, the blessings of first fruits. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here today. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for illuminating our hearts and minds, for revealing to us this truth that Israel knew, that the church today, Father, we're not very much aware of. So I pray, Holy Ghost, that you will take the words of my mouth, the things, Lord, that have been prepared, and what you add, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Let me preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Give us listening ears. Thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Do you desire to live on the economy of heaven? What a question. Do you desire, I want to hear from you now, to live on the economy of heaven? If so, God demands first place in your life. When God is first, all your need will be met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at Matthew 6:33. This is what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means holy living. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his holiness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you put God first, he promises to take care of your every need. That's a powerful statement. When you put God first, he promises to take care of your every need. So why do we worship on Sunday? Sunday is the first day of the week. It is the first fruit of the week. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And if you go to church on Sunday, then God blesses the quality of the rest of the week. That's powerful. My mother used to tell me, son, go to church on Sunday. It'll make your week go better. I can remember as a young man, I went out into the world. I can remember being in California in the Marine Corps, being in combat in Vietnam. And sometimes I would think about what mother said. I mean, in Vietnam, I'd go to that chapel, can't tell you a word that the preacher preached, can't tell you anything that was sung. I just remember what mother said. Go to church on Sunday, son. It'll make your week go better. And let me tell you something. She was right. We are to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all our increase. God tells us to do that. See, the first fruit sanctifies the coming fruit, and it guarantees your harvest. Let me say that again. The first fruit sanctifies the coming fruit, and it guarantees your harvest. Giving God first place in every area of your life, it establishes his lordship. Now, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to preach to you right now. I said giving God first place in your life establishes his lordship in your life. If Jesus is not first in your life, he is not Lord of your life. And if he is not Lord of your life, there is no blessing according to the word of God. Only when you give God first, do you receive the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Only when God is first do you receive joy unspeakable that is full of glory. Only when God is first will he give his angels charge over you to protect you in all your ways. Only when he is first will he open doors of opportunity that are closed. Give him first place in your life, and heaven's untold resources, they will be available to you. Somebody go on and shout and praise God. I said, give him first place in your life, and heaven's untold resources will be available to you. Only in total obedience is there total reward. And if you want God's favor in your life, if you want God's favor on your life, then give God first place in everything in your life. Somebody praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, I want you to get excited about this, because I'm excited about it. Because it would be a terrible thing for me to discover a truth in the Word of God and then to withhold it from the church, to withhold it from God's people. This is a powerful principle, and as this message progresses, you will understand why it is so important to God. Now let's look at Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham to be the father of all who believe? It was because Abraham, long before the law was given, Abraham understood the law of first fruits. When Abraham took Isaac and placed him on the altar to sacrifice him, he lifted his dagger and the angel of the Lord stopped him. He was so committed that the angel had to call his name twice. Abraham, Abraham, don't lay your hand upon that lad. And then God said, I know that you reverence me, Abraham, for you have not withheld your only son from me. In other words, Abraham put God first. Only when you put God first is he able to provide what he has promised. Let me say that again. Only when you put God first is he able to provide what he has promised. Let's consider God's law of first things. In Leviticus chapter 1, God established a system where animals were to be burned as a sacrifice. God named five clean animals that were acceptable to be sacrificed. The five clean animals were the bullock, the oxen, the goat, the sheep, and a bird. It had to be a pigeon or turtle dove. And the animal you sacrificed, it was a reflection of your financial ability. But this was the command to every person in Israel. Don't come empty-handed before the Lord. Now, my tithe, it goes to Falcon, North Carolina. Pastor Ricky's tithe goes to Falcon. Every time you see me hold up an offering, it's the fact I'm not coming. If something in my spirit, long before I discovered this, I am not coming before God empty-handed. And I'll write a check and tell Brother Philip, I'll say, put something in that, and I'll take care of it. I've had to do that at times because I failed to do. But I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. Don't come to God, that was the law, empty-handed. This was a command for every person in Israel. Don't come empty-handed before the Lord. If all you can afford is a bird, bring that bird. If you can afford 1,000 oxen like Solomon, bring that, but don't come empty-handed. Now, in the law of first fruits, everything had to be sacrificed or it had to be redeemed. Remember that. Sacrificed or redeemed. Look at Exodus 13:2. God's very serious about this principle. God said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. See, the firstborn was to either be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, I'm going to take you back to Egypt when the plagues were poured out. The firstborn of Pharaoh's people, they all died. The blood was put over the doorpost, the symbolic of the sacrificial lamb, and all of God's people were redeemed. And so they didn't die. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the blood has been applied to your heart? Go on, praise God for that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, you got to remember that the firstborn was to be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, John the Baptist, he meets Jesus Christ on the banks of the Jordan River. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. Jesus was the only begotten Son. He had to be sacrificed or he had to be redeemed. God allowed his Son, a male lamb without spot, blemish, or any defect, to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your substitute on the cross, you must die for your sins, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the price for us to redeem us from the power of sin, to redeem us from darkness. And because of the cross today, we were singing about it, we are free. I was thinking about how the Holy Ghost has put all this together and how the songs that have been sung, they run right parallel with this message. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, which is sin, sickness, and poverty. I preached an entire series of 5 sermons on that. And because we've been redeemed, we have eternal life. We have healing. There's victory over the world, the devil, and the flesh, because we've been redeemed. And there is the prosperity of Abraham, because we have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 3:13. It's something powerful to be redeemed. It's something powerful to walk under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You don't just need a Savior. You need a Lord to lead you and guide you through the wilderness of life. And God has given us this book right here. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Glory to God. We've been redeemed. Look at Galatians 3:13. This is powerful. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Now look at Galatians 3:29. I love this. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. And if your heart has been circumcised by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have heard the good news, then you want to serve him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. A lawyer came to Jesus one day and said, Master, what is the first commandment in the law? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, without thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. I don't go where I used to go. Don't do what I used to do. I love everybody. I choose to love you and forgive you before you ever wrong me. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Has it been shed abroad in your heart? Then praise the Lord. Go on and thank him. Hallelujah. That you've been born again. Glory to God. We've been redeemed. Praise God. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Yes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I owe him everything. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Come on, let's give the Lord a standing ovation. Come on. I'm redeemed by love divine. If you know it, sing it. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Glory. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm redeemed and I'm blessed and I'm highly favored of God. I've been touched by that nail-scarred hand. I've come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Glory to God. I belong to God, a child of the King. I have been redeemed, bought with a price, and I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. I just can't get over the goodness of God. I think I'll take me a praise break, and that's all right with you. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Glory to God. I tell you, if you can't get excited about being redeemed, you can't get excited about anything. We need to pack you up and carry you on to the funeral home. Amen. Your wood's wet. Glory to God. God is a good God. I'm redeemed. Now I want us to look at some examples of first fruits in the Bible. Remember, whatever is done with the first fruits determine what happens to all the rest. Now Isaac was the firstborn son of Abraham. As the firstborn, he was to either be redeemed or sacrificed. When Abraham put Isaac on that altar, God sent a ram which was caught in the thicket to redeem Isaac. When the first fruit is given to the Lord, it brings a mighty harvest. Now, I want you to follow this story. And as you read your Bible this year, you're going to be excited as you see these truths in the Word. We're talking about the blessings of first fruits. Whatever is done with the first portion, it determines what happens to all the rest. We go to church on Sunday, the first day of the week, and it determines the quality of the rest of the week. You give your tithe first to God, and then He blesses what is left. You don't pay all your bills and then say, I think I've got some money left, I'll pay God. No, you give your tithe first to God, and then He blesses what is left. Now, Isaac was the first fruit. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons, and his descendants became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Joseph was sent into Egypt, and he became the prime minister. Joseph later sent for his family, the Jewish people. They were 70 in number when they arrived there. They stayed in Egypt 430 years. And they became a mighty nation of 3 million people. Even though they were slaves, they prospered and they grew. Think about it. Slaves, yet they prospered and they grew. Why? Simply because the first fruits, Isaac, had been given to God on Mount Moriah. Now, what you do with the first fruit determines the guarantee of everything that comes after it. That's why Israel is so blessed today, and they will always be blessed. Why? Because God is keeping His covenant to Abraham. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God is a covenant-keeping God, and we must keep our part of the covenant. The ultimate sacrifice was paid by Jesus Christ, and He redeemed us with His own precious blood. Now, this thing about first fruits and honoring God first, it can work for you, or it can work in reverse. If you refuse to put God first, that doesn't keep God from being first. It only releases God's judgment upon you. Now, we don't talk much about the judgment of God in the church today, but the wages of sin is death. You keep on sinning, you will die and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. It will kill you. It will kill your sin, will kill your influence, it will kill your income, it will kill your body. It will kill everything about you, your family, your home. The wages of sin is death. When you sin, it releases the curse upon everything you put your hands to for the rest of your life until you're willing to obey God. Let me say that again. When you refuse to obey God, it puts a curse upon your life until you are willing to obey Him. It will be there for the rest of your life. The only way out is redemption, which means to buy back from destruction. And the only way you can do that is to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We must obey the Word of God. Now, let's consider the law of first fruits and Jericho. You all know these stories. When Israel came out of slavery, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Joshua was their leader when they reached Jericho. Jericho was the first city that stood between Israel and the promised land. What is there that stands between you and God's promises? Jericho was the first city that stood between Israel and the promised land. God made it clear that he was going to give Jericho to the Jewish people as a gift because the Lord said, I'm going to fight for you. Didn't the Lord say he would fight our battles? Hasn't God promised to be with us? Hasn't God promised to deliver us? He even gave us the name of Jesus because we're not wrestling flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, suit up and put on the whole armor of God because as a real devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he said, behold, I give unto you power, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. So you need to keep your armor on at all times. Don't ever take it off. Pray, fast, seek God, give, love, obey God, and God's blessings will overtake you. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. God made it clear that he was going to give Jericho to the Jewish people. That was only one thing that was forbidden. God said, the gold and the silver of Jericho belong to me. Don't take it. If you do take it, you will bring a curse upon yourself. God said, don't you take that. That belongs to me. It is consecrated unto me. Look at Joshua 6:18. God said, and you in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Look at verse 19. But all the gold and all the silver and the gold, vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, Israel, they fully understood the law of first fruits. They understood that everything in Jericho, that it belonged to the Lord. God said, don't take that. It all belongs to me. See, God was going to give them everything that came after Jericho, but Jericho was holy, sanctified, and consecrated as first fruits unto the Lord. Everyone got the message except the man named Achan. Achan, he stole some gold and silver and garments and hid them in his tent. And then they went up to Ai. They took Jericho. They said, well, we can take Ai. And at the battle of Ai, Israel's army was destroyed. Joshua fell on his face. He's screaming out, crying, throwing dust up in the air. And he inquired of the Lord, said, God, why did you let this happen to us? It was just a small number of people, but they beat the socks off of Israel. God said, get up. Get up and quit screaming out to me. There is sin in the camp. And so Joshua and his men, they go tent by tent searching. They searched the 11 tribes. And then they came to Achan's tribe, the tribe of Judah, which was last. My Lord. Judah means praise. And this man who could praise God couldn't worship God because worship is in spirit and in truth. They came to his tent and Joshua commanded Achan, give God the glory. That means you have stolen from God. Give back to God what you have taken. Achan has stolen the glory of God because he took the things that belong to God. Give God the glory. The result was that Achan, his wife, his sons, his daughters, his livestock, they were stoned to death and burned with fire by all of Israel. And then they covered them with stones to purge Israel of the sin of taking what had belonged to God. I mean, they said, we're going to cover this thing up. We're covering this whole mess up with a pile of stones. We don't even want God to see it anymore, what was done with the first fruits. Think about that. Because of one man's sin, the entire nation suffered the consequences. Wow. Because of one man's sin. You sow, and you will reap. And you will reap what you sow, and you will reap a lot more than you sow. That's another law of God. I ask you, are you taking what belongs to the Lord? Will your children and generations after you suffer because you have refused to obey God? This will touch every area of your life. You will reap what you sow. This is God's eternal word. And God is serious about his word. And God is serious about his people. And we don't need to treat God as a light, casual thing. We need to make sure that our call and election is sure, because there are generations coming after us if the Lord should tarry. And what you do is going to affect coming generations. God's abundance will be withheld from people who refuse to obey him. See, the spirit of Achan, it takes what belongs to God and it keeps it for himself at the expense of others. Let me say that again. The spirit of Achan, it takes what belongs to God and it keeps it for himself at the expense of others. The law of first fruits and tithing, it determines your financial future. That's why we teach seed time harvest here every week. The law of first fruits and tithing, those two things, and giving of offerings also, it determines your entire financial future. Your income is either consecrated or cursed. And you need to think about that. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Your income, all the work you do, every time you go to work, every time you labor, come home dog tired, and you've worked and worked and worked, if you don't remember God, you will be under a curse. Your income is either consecrated to God or it is cursed, and you need to know that. The tithe is consecrated to the Lord, and if you keep it for yourself, guess what? It becomes a curse. God's word is very clear on this matter. I mean, where's everybody shouting? I'm shouting over this thing. Glory. Hallelujah. Why am I shouting? Because I give first fruits. I tithe. I give offerings. I love people. I do the best I can. I'm not perfect. That's my wife. She'll tell you that. But I sure do try to live by this book right here, because I've understand this one thing. You don't break God's laws. God's laws will break you. Nobody breaks God's laws and gets away with it. God's law will break you. I learned that from the world of sin when I was there, and I got saved, and I got saved real good. And I said, God, why is my life so messed up? He said, son, you've sown bad seed and you've got a bad harvest. If you will sow to my word, I will bless your life. Glory to God. What an exchange. All I got to do is obey God and his blessing will overcome me. What an exchange for you. All you have to do is make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and his blessings will overtake you. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's word makes it very clear. Look at Malachi 3 and 8 about the curse. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and offerings. God said, you have stolen the tithe and offering from me, and you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me. Now, in essence, God was saying this. He said, you have taken what is mine, and you have robbed me of the opportunity to bless you. See, God wants to bless you, but God cannot bless disobedience. God doesn't need our money. He needs our heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God looks on the thought and intent of my heart. God looks at your heart. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him? Is your heart perfect toward him? If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. I want to make heaven my eternal home. Go on and praise him. I don't want anything in my life that disgraces the word of God and my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm human and I'm tempted and I fail, but thank God I've got an advocate. You've got an advocate with the Father. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he said, don't continue in that. He said, get it out of your life and serve me with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Glory to God. Only in total obedience is that total reward. And if you want God's favor on your life, you must give him first place in everything. When you give God first place in everything, he rewards you with supernatural abundance. When you give God first place in everything, he rewards you with unlimited victory. He rewards you with supernatural health. He rewards you with unlimited promotions, and he will reward you with favor in everything you do. That's why I love to say it. I am blessed and highly favored of God. I want you to say it with me about three times. Let's say it together. I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed and highly favored of God. When you give God first place in everything, you will prosper in every area of your life. The choice is yours. And those are the blessings of first fruits. Now, I want to end this message today with the greatest offering that was ever made. We think about Solomon and all of the cattle that when they dedicated the temple that they brought in, and that was a tremendous offering. But I want to talk about the greatest offering that was ever given. You see, God is a giver. And God gave heaven's best to save us. The golden text of the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave the first fruits when he sent his son to die for our sins. And that's why he expects every one of us to put him first in everything. He gave the first fruits. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. God gave Jesus as a first fruits offering. And Jesus bore our sins as our substitute on the cross. He paid redemption's price, and he redeemed us with his own precious blood. We were not redeemed with silver and gold from your former lifestyle, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. What a trade. My Lord, I get excited. What a trade. He took my sin. He took my shame. He took all of that stuff, nailed it to the cross, and then imputed to me and imputed to you his very righteousness. Justified us by faith in his blood, and we stand before the Father just as if we had never sinned. Redeem, praise God. I've been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. Praise God. I have been redeemed. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. You don't believe what I just preached? 1 Corinthians 15:20. Let me give you some Bible. The Bible says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. Woo! The first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, By man also came the resurrection of the dead. That's why God had to come to this earth in flesh. It would take a man, a perfect sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He came to this earth to redeem us from sin, sickness, and disease, and the works that the devil had brought upon our life. Every day I get up, I tell the devil, if I don't say it, I'm thinking it. I'm coming against your kingdom. You were dragging me off to a devil's hell. I was blinded, but now I see, praise God, and I'm going out and I'm going to set the captive free. I'm going to do what God called me to do because I am redeemed. Look at this. For since by man, 1 Corinthians 15:21, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, I love this, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And look at this. Verse 23, every man in his own order. Look at this. Christ, the first fruits. You want peace. You want a life that is blessed. Give God first place in everything in your life. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they which are Christ at his coming. We all need a Savior, and the good news is Jesus paid redemption's price. The man, woman, boy, girl, or child that does not act upon the gospel is lost, and they are lost forever. Any sinner in his right mind would not reject the gospel simply because it is the only thing that can save you. Your faith must result in action. And where there is no action, there is no faith. Without action, without works, faith is dead. And if you don't accept the message of the gospel, you will die in your sins. If you want to be saved, you must repent, you must turn from your sin, and you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you must give God first place in every area of your life. Giving God first place, it establishes the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. And if Jesus is not first in your life, he is not Lord of your life. And if he is not Lord, there is no blessing. And you better believe it. I urge you today, come to Jesus and make a complete surrender. Make him Lord of your life. And when you do, heaven and heaven's blessings and God's untold resources, they will show up in your life. Let us stand.
Jesus just paid it all to him I owe.
If you're watching by media today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the most important thing you could ever do is believe in your heart that Jesus died, bore your sins, and that he was your substitute. And if you will accept redemption's price and make Jesus Lord, you can make heaven your eternal home. Father, we just pray that you will touch the hearts of those that are lost. Pray this, Jesus, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I have failed. Lord, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. Come into my heart, Jesus, and save me. And I promise you, Lord, if you will save me, I will make you Lord of my life. Establish your lordship in my life, Lord, so I can be everything you call me to be. Sing it, brother.
Oh, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all.
Glory, thank God.
All to
he paid it all.
I owe.
I'm so glad.
Sin.
I couldn't save myself. I needed a Savior. I couldn't redeem myself. Thank God, Jesus paid it all.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt.
Thank you, Lord.
Raise this life.
Pay the debt
from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Paid my
Thank you, Lord. My sin is under the blood.
Raise this life.
You're Lord of my life.
From
Glory.
The dead. Oh,
praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Raise this life up from the dead.
Jesus paid it all. Think about that.
And
all he asks us to do is to surrender all. You know, that's hard sometimes. We're so self-willed. I know I was. I thought I could do it all myself. But I came to a place. I realized I need a Savior. I need to surrender.